Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome everyone in here to the Clay County Corner as we come to you live and in living color on your radio dial each Thursday morning at 9 o'clock on the Salina radio station, which just happens to be WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country, broadcasting out to the world from our tower out at Midway Mall. So we're great. We enjoy this, and we hope that we have maybe some great information for you this morning. I've got a couple of young gentlemen here with me this morning that we're going to be talking to a little bit later that are associated with the 4-H group, and we have got the, I guess, your official position, the UT Extension Agent, Miss Haley Wicks Barnes, and I keep trying to call her Haley Wicks all the time. I do that with younger folks that I knew as single young ladies. Not now that she is a married young lady with a young child now. But I know our extension agents down here, I guess we may be one of the most unique ones in the state of Tennessee. We have two very young ladies running the farm programs here in this county. That is, of course, Haley and Miss Kristen Clemens. And Miss Kristen was going to be with us, but she's got, I think, some family problems right now and some things going on, and she wasn't able to be here. But she's promised she'll be on here in a little bit later on. And I think also we'll talk about some more things on that. But I've got a couple of announcements here to make before we take our first little break. And one of those is a notice to Clay County veterans. Clay County veterans are family members normally seeking assistance from Bob Cole. The Clay County Veterans Service Officer may speak directly to Steve Bell, an accredited service officer, on February the 2nd, 2021, from 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. at the Salina Church of Christ building, the Bob building, at 302 Church Street in Salina. Veterans or family members seeking assistance may also call the Tennessee Department of Veterans Services at 615-741-2345. And that's thanks to Mr. Richard DeCurso with the group that the veterans group that helps to take care of kind of these things. So we've got that coming up, and then also I think I read a notice the other day that we've got our next blood drive coming up, I believe, over at the Salina Church of Christ too on the 22nd of February. And with that, we'll talk a little bit about the news about our basketball and stuff going on there, things going on at school. I may ask these two young guys what they're into at school now, and how it's going for them, since they're it's not a normal school year this year. So we'll get into that just in a minute, but right now let's take a little short break, and we'll work in a few words from our sponsors.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why making Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed. And you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. Come grow with us.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Alvin and the Chipmunks want to remind you to keep bacteria in food from making you ill with four simple steps.
This will be a walk in the park.
Clean, wash hands and surfaces often.
I'm waiting for the rain cycle.
Separate, keep raw meats away from ready-to-eat food.
Yep.
Cook, make sure meat, poultry, and seafood is cooked to the right temperature.
Fire.
And chill. Refrigerate food promptly. Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council. The road trip to food safety starts at foodsafety.gov.
Welcome back, everyone. We're here this morning. I'm going to let Miss Haley come over with the microphone here in a second. We want to remind everyone that today we will be giving away one of the delicious ice cream cakes from over at the Dairy Queen for our birthday and anniversary, folks. We've got a few folks that have called into that. We'll be doing that. And let's see, we've got a couple of basketball games tomorrow night down at Jackson County. And of course, we're in the COVID lockdown phase for high school athletics right now. And basically, the only folks that are being admitted are the parents. And I think maybe here in Salina and other places, parents and grandparents of the players and necessary folks to carry on the ball game. But, you know, it's, I think this one tomorrow night will be televised online on the National, I think it's called the National Federation of High School Athletics. But they've got a fee. You have to pay a monthly fee to get to watch for a month, and it's like $10. But I guess $10 to watch it on TV is cheaper than driving to Gainesboro and back and paying $7 a piece to get in. So that's really not too bad, but that's going on. And I know there are, you know, various ways that you can listen to the basketball games online. And I think maybe from the high school down here, we have a site online with I think it's called the Clay County High School Media that's on YouTube that actually shows a live video feed of our athletic things going on. And so we've got ways, you know, that you can still participate. You just can't sit in the gym and holler and cheer and carry on like we could at one time. But hopefully when all these things clear up, that it'll get back to some form of normal where we can be used to being with and around folks. With that, Miss Haley, you want to come over and introduce our young men we have with us this morning? And then we're going to let you, you're going to have to come back and talk about what's going on with UT Extension before we get through. But go ahead if you would.
Yes, today we have Mr. Whit Kaslikowski and Camden Baxter, and they have recently placed within our top two of our public speaking contest in our county contest. And they're now going to move on to our sub-regional contest that we have with a few of our surrounding counties. And so that's going to take place in March at the Heidelberg Pavilion. And so we thought we'd have them come in and talk about their public speaking experience, since they've been doing that since fourth grade. Now they're in junior high, so they're pretty experience with it now, and maybe they're going to share a little bit about their speech as well.
And I believe we may use this as a practice session. What do you think of that?
This will be a very good experience for them.
So, well, I guess we can start. Whit, you want to start first? And I will let you know it took us teachers forever to learn your how to spell your dad and your uncle's names when they enrolled in school here. And I think a lot of us, we would just go to CAS and quit. But I know as a teacher, I was working out there when they were both students, excellent students, and looked like the stream is going on. So apparently you're an excellent student, too, and it's great to have you here with us this morning. And tell us a little bit about yourself and some of the things you like and dislike, but before we get into your speech itself.
Well, I am 13 years old. I'm in seventh grade. And I have done a speech recently and got first place.
Okay, now a little bit about you. So what do you like to do, Whit?
I like to play sports like baseball. I'm obsessed with technology and reading.
Technology? You know, what are you talking about when you say you like technology?
Well, I have this virtual reality headset that I spend some time on, and I play lots of video games when I'm bored.
When you ever get bored?
Yeah.
Okay, now let's go in a little bit different direction here, and that is school this year. Now, how are you handling the school year this year, Whit?
I'm trying to take it slow and be safe while doing it. So I wear a mask all the time, and I try and stay distance from the other people.
Okay, are you in school? You're physically in the building each day.
Yes.
Okay. And have you done any of the virtual learning?
I went virtual for like a couple days, but I came back since it was just due to a sickness.
Right. Okay. And now, what did you think of the virtual learning itself?
Virtual is hard to do since you don't have as much access to tools that they're using in school, and you're not able to get passwords and stuff all the time and stuff malfunctions.
Okay, so that was the problem when you were doing it. It really wasn't working smoothly then. Okay, now, how do you feel at being a junior high age student of having that much responsibility placed totally on your shoulders with, where there's not a teacher looking over your shoulder and saying, hey, it's time to get back to work?
Well, I feel that it's degrading to some people's grades. I've heard of people getting F's on their report cards just for being virtual and not doing anything.
Okay, so it places a lot of responsibility on you, at the age of 13, it's a little bit unfair, isn't it, to place that much responsibility on you. But once again, we've always heard about self-reliance, you know, being able to do things for yourself. Do you think this period of time, and Camden, you can chime in on this too also if you want to, do you think it has helped you to become maybe a little bit more self-reliant even at your tender age of 13, 14 years old? Camden, what do you think of that?
Honestly, I don't know. I don't really feel any more self-reliant I was when I was in the classroom personally, but I could see how that could develop from being a virtual student.
Okay, have you done any virtual?
Yeah, I've been doing virtual for the entire school year due to pre-existing conditions.
Okay, now that's, had you done some homeschooling or anything before this? Had you ever been involved in anything like that?
Absolutely not.
So you were there every day, kind of sparking everyone else to keep moving and doing it.
Yeah.
Okay, now, I know we hear a lot about the fact that you're not around your friends each day. But now, of course, you still have your 4-H things and things like that allows you to interact with your friends on a daily basis. Have you felt, we hear all the time that the students your age are having problems with coping with this. I'm talking to you personally. Do you feel like, you know, that you're being cheated out of anything, or you're hoping this will soon end so you get back to a little bit more normal time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's been a while since I've seen my friends, really. It's very degrading on the mental health to not be seeing, you know, people your age on a daily basis, you know? Stuck in the house.
Well, let me ask you this. The stuck in the house thing, has it, either one of you guys, has it kind of told you guys to get out and maybe look around and look at things that you just took for granted every day, like outside your home there, go out and just walk and look around and say, hey, I had never noticed this before. Has it made you more aware of your home surroundings, maybe, than you had been in the past?
I mean, yeah. I mean, not being able to go other places, you notice a lot of things about the place you are at.
That's a pretty good answer, Cameron. What about you, Whit? Do you live on a farm?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Do you have any activities going on around the farm?
I participate in archery weekly with a recurve bow and arrow, so I will practice that like 2 or 3 days a week, and sometimes I'll go on hikes through the woods since we got a forest right behind our backyard.
Okay, are you a member of the Tuckasee archery thing?
Yes, sir.
I kind of thought you might be, and I believe you guys have got maybe 4 big events scheduled for Donaldson Park this summer with the Tuckasee. And now, what do you think about that? See, that's something we've led off to. What do you think about the Tuckasee thing? You really like that?
Yes, I've been a member for 3 years now. And, you know, it's something you can just go and do whenever. It's not like you have to do it a certain time. It's something you can do whenever you want.
Okay, and along that line, that's a personal responsibility, isn't it, to get better? I mean, because, you know, you don't, I'm sure that you guys have times where you all come together and do some practicing together, but you do a lot on your own, don't you?
Yes, sir.
And how many of your age group are in that now? Do you have any idea, maybe a number, just a?
I estimate about 10.
10 of you, okay. And like I said, we've had Ms. Rhonda on here a few times, and the coach is stuff talking about that. We'll get to him a little bit later on, too. Okay, now, on the farm, do you actually do some of the farm work?
I'm responsible for feeding a few calves and moving cows around.
So you've got your responsibilities.
Yes.
Now, what about you, Camden, your responsibilities?
I mean, really, I don't have much. Just as long as if my parents need something, I'll do that. The only real things I can think of are like feeding the dogs. I gotta do that sometimes.
How many dogs you got?
Me and my sister. We got 4. 2 boys, 2 girls. One of them's all little, and one of them's a goon dog.
Along that line, I went out the other night, and one of my brother-in-law's, his German Shepherd just had about 8 or 10 pups. So I got to take a look at those little fellas. But, guys, I'll tell you what, we have killed a little bit, I don't want to say that. We have had some enjoyable conversation with you guys here to begin with. And it's great to hear from, we hear on the news all this stuff about how the COVID is affecting our young people. And, hey, we're lucky enough to have 2 young people here with us this morning that are pretty candid and not afraid to talk about how they feel about it. But we're going to go back here just in a minute and let you guys talk a little bit more about the speech and how your speech came about, what your speech is. But with that, we'll take a little short break. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Huh?
Let's face it. We are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. Come grow with us.
You may not realize how important 3 letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Tri-County Electric offers their member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Alvin and the Chipmunks want to remind you to keep bacteria in food from making you ill with four simple steps.
Need to be a walk in the park.
Clean, wash hands and surfaces often.
I'm waiting for the rain cycle.
Separate, keep raw meats away from ready-to-eat food.
Yep.
Cook, make sure meat, poultry, and seafood is cooked to the right temperature.
Fire in the hole!
And chill, refrigerate food promptly.
No.
Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council. The road trip to food safety starts at foodsafety.gov.
Welcome back, everyone. Once again, I guess we can start back with the speeches themselves. Witt, you want to tell us what your speech is, and we'll let you go through and practice your speech right here this morning.
Okay, my speech is about the history of aviation.
Okay. How far back did you go?
I went back to the 1600s.
Okay, go ahead.
Sure is a long time, ain't it?
Day before yesterday.
Aviation is a proof that given the will, we have the capacity to achieve the impossible. Hi, my name is Whit Kazakowski, and this is the history of aviation. This speech means a lot to me because I want to be an aerospace engineer when I grow up. Most of you have heard a little of this history, even though you may not know much about it. I will take the history into more detail to show you the wonders of the world of aviation by teaching you about gliders, rockets, and balloons in early flight, then move on to powered airplanes and helicopters in modern flight. The very first successful flight in history was in the early 11th century, in which Aylmer of Malmesbury attempted a gliding flight using wings. He traveled a pretty good distance, then broke his legs on landing. Next is the first successful flight using a propulsion system, and it was in 1633, where a man named Lagari Hassan Celebi made a man fly on a rocket propelled by gunpowder almost 1,000 feet into the sky and landed in the sea. The very first balloon flight was in 1783, and a sheep called monocele, a duck, and a rooster were sent high up into the air by the Montgolfier brothers. The first manned flight by balloon was only 1 month after the very first flight and was flown by Jean-Francis Pilatre de Rozier and Francis Laurent de Arlandes. Several balloon flights like this came after with little variations like gas power, but a big flight was the first flight of an airship, which was still used to this day like the Goodyear blimp. This unique flight was in 1784 and was performed by the Robert Brothers. They used a rudder to steer the ship and tried to use oars to propel the aircraft, which didn't work. The next big balloon flight, though, was across the English Channel and marked a big milestone for aviation. These flights were repeated and mastered for warfare and recreation. Fast forward to 1877, when Enrico Forlanini developed an unmanned helicopter powered by a steam engine. Experiments with gliders provided the groundwork for heavier-than-aircraft, and the first man-in-control glider was flown in 1891 and was piloted by Otto Lilienthal. He reliably flew these aircraft and inspired the Wright brothers to research aviation. The Wright brothers are the forefathers of modern aircraft. The Wright brothers invented the Flyer One, which took flight on December 17, 1903. This was one of the most monumental flights of all time. The first time a manned helicopter rose off the ground was on a tethered flight in 1907 by the Breguet-Richey gyroplane, which kind of looked like a drone. Later that same year, the Cornu helicopter made its first free helicopter flight at Lisieux, France. During World War I, aviation technology was greatly improved as Allied forces worked together and used the nation's greatest mind for advancement. The most notable countries that made advancements in aviation were France, Britain, Germany, and Italy, as they made the most aircraft. During the period of aviation after World War I, a famous aviator named Amelia Earhart emerged, and she became known as an air show expert. She also made history with flights across the Pacific and Atlantic Oceans. World War II saw great advancements in weapon technology, but not much advancement with flight itself. After World War II, commercial airlines became widely available. With the invention of digital electronics, great advancements in flight instruments, and fly-by-wire systems, this brings us to today, where almost anything is possible. And, in more recent years, drones have become widely available, creating highly accessible flight. This concludes the history of aviation. I've talked about all walks of flying from 53 BC wings to modern drones and jet planes. This included many aviators piloting balloons, airships, gliders, and airplanes. I hope you find aviation history interesting, and thank you for listening.
All right. Now, let's go back and did you mention Da Vinci?
Da Vinci was not really an aircraft creator. He designed an aircraft that he thought would work, but...
He failed, didn't he?
Yes. He never actually constructed the aircraft, but with modern analysis and aerodynamics technology, they figured out that no man would have been strong enough to power it, and it would have been too heavy.
Okay. Now, I also, going all the way back into to folklore, I think from my folklore stuff, I remember someone that tried to fix wax wings, put feathers on them and fly them. I mean, there's something that mankind had dreamed of forever, being able to have the freedom of leaving the earth and looking down at it. And you've covered it pretty good. Did I hear anything about Chuck Yeager in there?
Not really, since he was more working with NASA, and that stuff was mainly classified during that time period.
Okay, now, do you know what one of the major things that he did?
I believe he was the first person to go supersonic.
Yeah, he went... Right. Mm-hmm. And what is supersonic? What does that mean?
It's going faster than the speed of sound.
And when it catches up, when you break through there, it makes a big boom, a big sonic boom, doesn't it? And also, now, he was one of the original, I guess you would call them, guinea pigs that they were going to use for space flight, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And do you know why he turned it down?
I do not.
I think if there was a book, Chuck Yeager turned that down. He said that if a monkey can do it, I ain't going to. So some of the first things went into space were dogs and monkeys, and he said, if that's all you need is a dog or a monkey to go, you really don't need me. But I think Chuck Yeager, so just a few years ago, but he was one of the leaders. And you mentioned Amelia Earhart. Do you have any idea where she may be right now?
Probably in the Bermuda Triangle.
But she's lost somewhere on an island, wasn't she? Trying to make her life flight. And, of course, we still have stories about that. I'm sure Miss Haley's heard those stories where people think they have found the wreckage of Amelia Earhart's aircraft. Charles Lindbergh. Can you tell us something about Charles Lindbergh and your research?
I did not research him that much.
Do you know what he did?
Not really.
The first the single pilot to make it from the United States over to Europe. And so, you know, you've opened up a whole can of worms there that you need to go and just do much more research with for your own benefit. But that's a great job. Great job, Whit. Let's see, how much time we got here now before I need to read the birthdays off before we let Caden come and chime in with his speech. Celebrating birthdays, I want to remind everyone that we have this each Thursday morning where you call into our handy-dandy answering service here, and give it time to get completely finished with its spiel, and then speak slowly and clearly so we'll know exactly who to award a birthday cake to. And we'll draw out a name here from our highly sophisticated non-computerized selection system here, and someone will win a car to take over to the Dairy Queen and get them one of their delicious ice cream cakes. And today we have celebrating Mr. Jackie Bray, celebrating a birthday this past week. And then we have two people celebrating a birthday on the same day. That makes them twins, and that's Abby and Lexi Head. They're celebrating a birthday this past week. And also, I believe, Roy and Joan L. McLaren celebrated the 50th wedding anniversary. So here in a few minutes, we'll draw out a number here, and we'll award one of them a cake. With that, we'll be back just in a few minutes after we get in a few words from our sponsors.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Alvin and the Chipmunks want to remind you to keep bacteria in food from making you ill with four simple steps.
Need to be a walk in the park.
Clean, wash hands and surfaces often.
I'm waiting for the rain cycle.
separate. Keep raw meats away from ready-to-eat food.
Yeah.
Cook. Make sure meat, poultry, and seafood is cooked to the right temperature.
Fire, no!
And chill. Refrigerate food properly.
No!
Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council. The road trip to food safety starts at foodsafety.gov.
Welcome back, everyone. I guess now we, Camden?
Yeah?
You want to do your speech?
Yeah, sure. You want me to tell you what it's about?
Yeah, of course.
My speech is about how the prices of insulin, for artificial insulin for type 1 diabetics, have been progressively going up over the years, to the point where it costs $250 for a month's supply now.
Okay, do you have a personal reason for this research?
I mean, yeah, because I am type 1 diabetic myself. It's a topic that's passionate to me, seeing as diabetics without insurance are paying these ridiculous prices for something they need to live.
You know, and that, you know, that's, I know we're looking right now at a pandemic, and I went through a pandemic when I was, I guess, in elementary school. And it was called poliomyelitis, which attacked young folks. And Dr. Jonas Salk came up with a vaccine for that. And guys, you see how, you know, we see on TV now people going in to get their shots. We got our shots then. They lined us up down at the elementary school in a line, told us to pull our sleeves up, and they walked down and inoculated basically the whole school in one day, give them their shots. And, of course, a little bit like that, they came back with a pill that you could take for that. But do you know how much Dr. Jonas Salk made from this vaccine?
How much? Zero.
He didn't take anything. He did it for to save a generation. If you had polio, the best case was, you know, you could recover, but more than likely you would be physically disabled the rest of your life. And then the worst part of it was they had a thing called an iron lung, which if you've ever had an MRI where you go sliding up in that tube, you've seen those things. That's the only way they could survive day to day, was being placed in something like that. But once we defeated that, and we will defeat this thing that you guys are having to worry, we're all having to worry about now. But Camden, go ahead. Like I said, I knew this had a little personal reason with you, but go ahead with your speech.
All right. Have you ever gone to the pharmacy and asked how much a drug costs without insurance? One of these drugs is artificial insulin, and while I'm not old enough to buy my own prescriptions, this is still an important issue that speaks to me personally, because I, myself, have type 1 diabetes. But what is type 1 diabetes? Type 1 is when your body's immune system mistakenly attacks the pancreas and destroys the islet cells required to make insulin. Since your pancreas is unable to produce insulin, artificial insulin must be injected through shots. This is unlike type 2 diabetes, or you can partially produce insulin. When researching my own type 1 diabetes, I was shocked to learn that one vial of insulin costs anywhere from 50 cents to $5 to manufacture, while it costs $21 for a month's supply. If you live in the year 1996, as of 2020, that same vial I need to live costs between $275 to $500, according to Daniel K. Roberts, a Medicare insurance professional. The world's pharmaceutical industry is one of the most powerful with a global revenue of over $1 trillion in 2014. But nowhere else in the world are they more powerful than in the U.S. They are making a 5,500% markup based on insulin costing $5 to manufacture. And it doesn't stop at insulin. There's significant rise in cost for many prescription drugs and medical devices. While I was doing research for this speech, I called the local Walgreens and was denied information on the cost of insulin without insurance. But how? How did pharmaceutical companies begin snatching every penny from we the people, costing innocent people their lives? In the May of 2020, a bill had been passed in all states capping insulin prices at $35 for Medicare users, but this doesn't help. The problem stems from people not being able to afford insurance, thus paying ridiculous prices for their insulin. So the issue still persists. Unless we take a stand against the tyrants behind the pharmaceutical industry, diabetics throughout the USA will go without insulin. It is clear that the pharmaceutical industry does not care for the piles of those dead by their hands, but do you?
Okay, now, see, now, this is very, very, across the board, this is something that's kind of generic to all drugs in this country, isn't
it?
And I know we are continually, I know Camden, I know you've probably done some research. We look at the folks in charge of this industry, and I wonder how many people have actually sat down and tried to do a little research and to see how much money that we are spending with the Pfizer and those folks right now for the development of this vaccine. How much money is going to be profited by those folks from this thing? You know, and it's a problem that we've had in this country for a number of years that, as you said there in your speech, that the large pharmaceutical companies have control. They have basically isolated where we can get the drugs as end users, but they haven't isolated where the pharmaceutical companies can get the drugs. You know, we'd never given much thought to that. Some folks had, you know, where our drugs, or even all the way down to our aspirin, our Advil thing, where they were actually manufactured. You know, we kept thinking, hey, you know, this is something that's closely monitored here in the United States. It's made here in this country. But as I said, it's not that way, is it? Most of our drugs here in this country now are made outside the country, but of course we can't go out there and buy them at the same prices that the big pharmaceutical companies do. And of course, they're not allowed to sit up here in this country and sell them here and cut the middleman out, where the middleman is basically where all that's going. And I know it does affect people like you with your condition, but it also affects, well, anyone that has a condition, because we continually hear and we see on our news broadcast each night how many hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars that are being overpaid for life-saving drugs here in this nation. Now, when you did your research, did you kind of wander off on some other things, or did you kind of just focus in on that?
I mostly focus in on the insulin personally.
Okay, now let me ask you this. As with your condition, how does that restrict your life, Caden?
I personally don't see my life restricted too bad because I handle it well. But from what I've seen from other child diabetics like I am, I've seen that's really challenging to manage that insulin in your blood sugar.
Okay, now, how does it affect you physically? Do you have periods of weakness, periods of maybe the anxiety that may be caused by this, that type of thing? Do you suffer from anything like that? I mean, you seem like I hate to call you normal because he's laughing, folks.
Yeah.
But, you know, personally, you know, physically, mentally, and everything like that, with your condition, it doesn't seem like it's going to get you down, does it?
No, not really. But, again, in other people I've seen, yeah, that can be really straining mentally.
And physically, are there limitations to things that you can physically do?
Yeah, there are some. Like, for example, I don't really do sports much, but I've seen that when you're, you know, out there doing that, since your pancreas isn't producing those hormones used to control your blood sugar, sometimes it can get low, meaning that you probably shouldn't be sporting anymore, because if that gets too low, that can be very detrimental, so then you have to sit out.
And do you, your physical activity, jogging, running, walking?
Yeah, I mostly take more relaxed approaches to physical activity myself. Walking's a big one. I like going on relaxing walks.
Oh, I'm not going there. Where's the most interesting place you've ever walked?
Well, I don't really walk in different places most of the time. It's usually around my driveway. But I've walked at my Nana's house before, and her neighborhood's really interesting because you get to see all the people, some of them normal and nice, some of them a bit cuckoo.
So you don't go out and go hiking through the woods?
Nah, hiking wouldn't be for me. I'd probably get lost for 7 days and ate by coyotes, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know where a coyote would dare to attack you or not. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Whit, your physical activities during the day?
I do play baseball, and the season's
coming up. I know you said that.
Soon, so I've been starting to stretch and go out there and hit some.
So it's not slowing you down any at all?
No.
But that way. Kate, now I know you. Just while I've been around you for, I don't know, how long have I known you now?
3 minutes?
But you leave an impression that you know, that you're not going to let anything get you down.
No, I like to push through challenges I find.
Okay, now let me ask you this. I know you're making plans for a career, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You want to expand on that a little bit for us, what you think you might be?
It's honestly really nerdy. I play video games. I like video games, but I also really like looking into the design of the video games I play and actually constructing them. So I think I'm honestly going to be a video game developer.
Okay, now, what does that involve?
That involves, well, depending on where you go into, that could involve art skills. It could involve programming knowledge.
Okay, now there's what I want to start programming. Are you a programmer?
I programmed a little before, some obscure languages, not more of the common ones. You'll
Which
see.
One do you?
I think I've, yeah, I done HTML, CSS. I think I tried a bit of JavaScript, too.
Okay, now you want to tell folks exactly what you're doing there. You sit down at a keyboard and you type something, don't you?
Yeah, you type in commands to tell the computer exactly what you want to do, but that more ends up looking like you're just in your room for like 7 hours trying to get the thing to work.
When you type those things, in front of that sentence you put a little, like a caret or something in front of it that gives a direction to a computer, and that computer takes, you just type in a command for the background screen on your computer to be read.
Yeah.
That starts out with numbers, doesn't it? You type in a bunch of numbers on your computer screen, and it recognizes it and turns those zeros and ones into color on that. Doesn't that seem kind of amazing to you?
I mean, yeah. It's usually not numbers, but what those words are is basically another program converting those words into the numbers that the computer reads.
And what numbers do computers use?
Binary, zeros and ones.
Zero. Everything there is combinations of zeros and ones.
Lots of zeros and ones.
And okay, now we talked about HTML there. So much of programming anymore is done basically as just drag and drop things, and a lot of that is when you create a web page or something.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of services nowadays that streamlines the process, right? Like you'll see websites like Wix and Squarespace a lot, where you can just have another program tell the computer what to do. Basically the interface.
You know, and one of the things that always kind of amazed me was, you know, like I said, I made my screen a red, and if I wanted a little bit different shade of red, I'd go in there and change one letter to a different value, and it would change the color of my screen when I brought it back up. To me, that, you know, that's always been kind of amazing, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And so you're looking forward to creating the next great game and become a multimillionaire.
Hopefully.
From that game. So you're playing ahead a little bit, and it sounds like a very, very interesting day. I'm not sure if folks could sit and watch you all day. They might be interested in how you're getting through each day doing these things. Now, Whit, how about you? What are your plans for the future?
As I said in my speech, I want to be an aerospace/aviation engineer when I grow up and either build rockets or airplanes.
Who built the first rocket?
I believe it was the Russians. Or
the Germans.
Or the Germans.
How about Robert Goddard? Do you ever heard that name?
Never heard of
Werner von Braun?
I think I've heard that.
Okay, now, when you get into history, Wernher von Braun actually started out in Germany under the control of the Nazis during World War II. And he's the guy that invented, the V-2 rocket that was going to change the entire world, and it probably could have, because the V-2 rocket was an unmanned rocket that they could launch from Germany and attack the British Isles with. But Wernher von Braun and some of those people, they, when the war was over, we kind of confiscated them into the United States, and they became scientists here. And Robert Goddard is one of the first rocket engineers, and von Braun was responsible for our spacecraft. So if you got something to go do a little research on, what about getting a pilot's license?
I actually plan to do that. I've been trying to work up and save up so I can eventually get a pilot's license when I'm around 16 or 17.
Have you given any thought to little personal airplanes you can get in and fly around over Clay County?
Yeah, I'm thinking about getting an ultralight or a Cessna, just like an average fly around, fly above my house and stuff.
We do have an airport nearby over in Livingston where you can land smaller aircraft. And I think at one time we had maybe a couple little private airstrips here in the county at one time where you could land small planes in. But I know we have some folks that do have some small aircraft that fly over here every once in a while. And you mentioned helicopters in that. If you go back and look at, if you want to do a little research, Popular Mechanics magazines back in the 50s, one of the great predictions for helicopters were that there would be a helipad in everybody's, where the driveway was, there would be a helipad there. And helicopters would become the major mode of transportation in this country. But that was one that never did hardly work out. But, you know, there's just all kinds of things. And you guys have, it's been such a great pleasure having you guys here with me this morning. Like I said, I'm a retired history teacher, and my mind wanders off in a lot of places, kind of like I think you guys do, that when you start on something, you kind of let that lead you into a lot of other things. And it's great knowing that those of us that are reaching the twilight, that there's someone on the horizon waiting like you guys that are going to be ready to take over and run these places for us. And with that, it's been, like I said, a pleasure having you here. And I'd like Miss Haley to come over for a few minutes and talk about the extension service. Kay, you want to swap chairs with her a few minutes?
Yeah, I don't mind.
And I really appreciate, Haley, you bringing these guys up this morning. And they're welcome to come back any time after they win these contests.
Absolutely. We always try to give them as many opportunities as we can, and to let everybody know what our youth are doing in the county.
And you guys have to learn the 4-H pledge, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Just making sure on that. Haley, what is, on the adult level down there with some of our programs maybe that are, how is that going during this period of time?
It has been a challenge on the adult level as well. We have moved a lot of our programming to virtual. Currently, Kristen is doing Master Beef classes for our farmers, and those are held virtually where the majority of them can watch them from home. But if we have some of our farmers that do need assistance with technology, they are welcome to come down to our office, and we can help them watch those educational classes to gain that certification. So much like our school education, we've had to transfer a lot of our stuff to virtual as well.
Okay. And what program do you use for your virtual work?
Mostly we work off of Zoom.
And exactly what is that, Haley? We know we hear it all the time, practically. I've got it on my machine here, and I've attended some of the folks, and I know folks hear that all the time. They say, what in the world is she talking about?
Mostly it's like a video conference where you're at your computer, and you can see all the other people that is on that conference, and they have the option to turn their camera on or off, and you can speak to each other as well.
And, of course, I think a lot of folks now, what's the name of the program they use on there for FaceTime?
Yes.
Which
FaceTime is for Apple phones, yes.
Which is, a great way of communicating now. And, of course, we have like I said, we started doing this back many, many years ago with interactive classroom things here in the county. And I also think I noticed the other day where our school board has contracted with an outside contractor to start helping with the virtual learning here in Clay County.
Mm-hmm. We, aside from our adult programming, to be able to meet with our kids, which fortunately we have been able to go back in the classroom with them across the state. Some of the other agents have not been able to. But we set up Google Classrooms for each class, so that's how Camden, he's completely virtual. While Kristen and I are in the classroom meeting in person, we're also streaming our Google Classroom with Camden so he can take part in that as well. So we still get to reach those virtual learners while we're doing our in-person clubs too.
Okay, and as you said, you can have, if you've got, I think most people now when they have these, have a big screen TV up there, and you can bring numerous people in, and it's I know like when we first started doing this, one of the things, the greatest complaints that our teachers had was that they couldn't touch their students, that physical being, being in the same room with them. And I know that's one of the things now that our governor, our president, everyone's trying to, you know, work on a way of getting our students back physically in the classroom, mm-hmm. Where they have that person up front that's in charge.
Yeah, we did have to do our very first months of our club meetings virtually, and it went well, as good as it probably could have, and we still got to see our kids on the screen, but it wasn't the same as being in the classroom with them and really getting to interact.
Okay, let me ask you about some of the shows, like the swine shows, things like that. Have they been able to carry those on, or has it been pretty much?
Some had earlier on, but as the pandemic has gotten a bit worse and the numbers have started to climb, those have transferred over to virtual shows. And it's a little bit different, obviously, as you're trying to show livestock on a virtual setting, but it's an opportunity that they wouldn't otherwise get to have.
So one of the good things about the oil is they are learning there are other ways, alternative ways to do things than what they have normally done.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think, it just hit me, that if you're doing it virtually, you don't get the pig's personality.
It is different, but I think being able to transfer a lot of our programming over to virtual shows really how resilient the 4-H program can be in our county and across the state.
But, you know, that's something that, you know, the personality of the 4-H member that's showing you, and that's mm-hmm. said, these animals, they also have a personality about them that it shows during a live performance that it can't show on a computer screen.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It is different, and it's not the same as an in-person show. And some of, you know, a lot of our exhibitors have been able to show at in-person shows, and there's another one that they're going to be able to show at this upcoming weekend, and we're fortunate for that opportunity that they get to take part in those.
And of course, there are things that doesn't require live. You know, there are things that are judged that are inanimate objects and things like that. So that pretty much is still going on as normal.
Yes, the skeleton portion of program that was able, it's normally done in person, but they can also do that virtually as well.
Okay, I just got a little birdie in my ear that says we have made it through an hour, guys. This has been fun. I probably we could have stayed another hour, but Camden just threw out a name, so if anyone is unhappy with who wins the cake, it's his fault. But I don't think it will be. Jackie Bray, you have won the birthday cake today. So you can go over by the chamber office and pick up the Dairy Queen certificate or card and take it over and trade that for one of those delicious ice cream cakes. And with that, I guess this time maybe we shut the barn doors here. We got everything put back up where it ought to be. And we'll say, you know, may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again. And hopefully we'll meet you here again next week here on WVFB-FM 101.5 Kicks Country. And with that, we'll say good day, Clay County.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.